Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we journey through the book of Acts and learn that true faith leads to action. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. Sitting in the studio with my good friend John Edmonds, getting ready to dive into Acts chapter number 22. I wish you could see our studio. It is a bit cluttered, but most importantly, John, I have a large diet lemonade from Chick-fil-A.
Hey, that's got to be healthier than Dunkin' Donuts.
You know, I didn't make that comment for you to criticize my coffee choices. I made that comment so you could celebrate my Chick-fil-A choices.
I celebrate with you today.
You're so negative. Hey, Acts chapter 22, my friends. Let's go ahead and find our place. Of course, we left you with a little bit of a cliffhanger last episode. The Apostle Paul has been arrested. He's been taken to a place called the Antonio Fortress. Excuse me. If you ever get a chance to go to Israel with me, I'll take you to the northwestern corner of Temple Mount, show you exactly where this fortress was. And he is speaking now in the Hebrew tongue to the crowd that just moments before, many of them wanted to dispense of him, away with him, away with him. And now for a season, they're going to allow him to speak. So Acts 22 in verse 1, the Bible says, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you." So interesting, he addresses the crowd in general. He speaks to his Jewish the Jewish people as his brothers, and then he says fathers, so he's speaking to the leadership with terms of respect. It's really a good template for the way that we can speak with people with whom we disagree.
You know, Pastor, Paul does give us a great example here. Clearly, these people are against him. They don't like him. They want to do away with him. And yet, Paul shows us, even with people that are antagonistic toward us, we don't have to be that way with them. We can have respect. We can show them honor that is deserving of their position in life. And that is exactly, as you mentioned, how Paul starts here.
Paul told Timothy years later that even in dealing with issues in the local church, you know, deal with younger men like your brothers, for indeed they are, and when you deal with older men, respect them as you would a father.
It is so easy to let emotion come in when we deal with people that we may not like. But in the church, for sure, as you mentioned, we ought to look at them as brothers in Christ, as, you know, co-laborers together, even if in the church, you may have a personality conflict. You may not. There may be something that rubs you the wrong way. We still ought to treat each other properly. And we find that all throughout the New Testament, God tells us that.
So he offers this conciliatory greeting. And the Bible says in verse 2, "And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence, and he saith." So interesting, and Paul knew what he was doing. They really thought that Paul was anti-Jew, was more Gentile than he was Jew, and how dare he try to change. But the fact that he speaks perfect Hebrew is an indication to them, wait a minute, he is one of us.
Yeah, for sure, people had lied about Paul, had really stretched what Paul had said in the past. And Paul wants them to realize, look, you know, I look at you with a heart of respect. I look at you with a heart. I want to talk to you as an equal. And so Paul here really does show them that he is not against the Jewish people.
And you can't always pick up a person's heart in their tone. But what do we know about the Apostle Paul? We know that he had a deep love for his own people. And he stated that several times in Scripture. One, of course, Romans 9, and then Romans 10. He reiterated, my heart's desire, prayer to God for Israel, is that they might be saved. So you can only imagine the kind of pathos the compassion that Paul has in his words as he's speaking to his brethren.
It would have been great to have been there and heard Paul say this, because you're right, Pastor. Even as we read the text sometimes, we don't fully grasp the emotion things would have been said with. It is so easy to misconstrue what people are saying. I think this day in common practice where people text each other. And sometimes you'll misread a text, read the wrong emotion into it. I'm sure if we'd been here on this day, we would have seen the heart of Paul as he talks with them and see what he really was like.
He's not trying to defend himself in the moment. He's trying to provide a context for his apostleship, for the way he behaves as he does. I think the Apostle Paul always kept in the back of his mind that these people are acting the way that I acted. He has a compassion for people that just don't know better.
And it is interesting, as we move along in a minute, we're going to find that Paul brings that up, that he had acted like they had acted, like they're acting right now. And we've discussed this before throughout the book of Acts, that Paul really had a heart for people that were opposed to Jesus Christ, because he realized that is where he had been at once in his life.
So watch how he begins his speech to them. Verse 3, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way. Remember, my friends, when the Bible says this way, that was an early designation for Christians. I persecuted Christians this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. So as the Apostle Paul begins his speech to the people, he says, listen, let me just tell you, I was exactly where you are, and yet I was where you are and was a leader in my passion against Christianity.
And I love how Paul does start this here. He doesn't start out and say, you all don't hate God, you all are against God. No, he starts out by saying, hey, I was zealous toward God like you are. You know, I thought I was doing what was right. I had a zeal for God. And Paul realized, you know, these people, many of them would have thought they were doing what they should be doing because they did not properly understand the Bible. And yet Paul has a good heart with them and is not at all, you know, condemning them as he starts. He tries to show them he knows where they're at.
He identifies with his listener. You're a Jew, I'm a Jew. You feel this way, I felt that way. It's just, it's a wonderful template for dealing with anybody that might be antagonistic, is first seek to understand who people are, where they're coming from. That's exactly what Paul is doing here.
And as we see, as we go through here, Paul is giving us a good example of how to communicate with people, how to have a heart for people, how to reach out and try to find some kind of common ground that we can have a platform to speak to them. And Paul shows us well how to speak with people, even when they are directly opposed to us. And not long before this, they wanted to kill Paul.
An interesting thought is that the high priest especially was a family thing. So Caiaphas, during the time of Jesus, his father-in-law was Annas. So even at the moment that Paul is speaking here, which is a couple decades after Pentecost, he is still referencing the fact, hey, the high priest can bear me record. The elders here, the council members, no doubt that were in that crowd, they can bear witness. I was the up-and-comer. I was in this city. I learned from one of the Sanhedrin members, Gamaliel, who probably was the most respected teacher of them all. Hey, I've got the credentials, and there are people here right now in this crowd that can attest to that.
You know, a lot of these people here would not have known Paul's history. As you mentioned, it's been years now since Paul first started following Christ. back from Acts 7, back when we saw Stephen. And yet Paul does say, there are people here who know me well. They can testify to how I have been. And so Paul wants them to realize he is not some stranger to what they're doing. He knows where they're at, and he does want them to understand why he is as he is today.
The large question that has to be looming in the minds of the listeners right now is, okay, so he is saying that he was where we are as far as his fidelity to Judaism. And not only was he where we now are, but he took it farther than we were taking it. He actually was employed by the high priests to stamp out Christianity. So the question that has to be looming large is, what changed? What altered his course?
Yeah, this is a great question. When people today trust in Christ, often people that have trusted Christ older in life and then known by people as being a person that doesn't follow Jesus Christ, after they trust in Christ, a lot of people notice the change in what they're doing. And often they wonder, what happened in your life? What caused you to change? And you're right, Pastor, as Paul's unfolding his narrative here, the question is, okay, why do we think as we do toward you today with us now hearing this pass from you?
There is nothing more powerful in your gospel witness than your testimony. That's why it's important when we tell people about the Lord or give people the plan of salvation, that's why it's important to do so with the dressing of your own experience. It's not that your experience, as unique as it is what they need to experience. You were saved by walking forward at an altar call. That means that all people must be saved walking forward at an altar call. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is we're saved when we put faith in Christ, but people understand better when they see the power of the gospel in somebody's life.
You know, narrative is a powerful way to communicate. And we see Paul time and again, we're going to find it. We see it in the past. We'll find it moving on that Paul often tells his story. He wants people to know what Christ has done in his life. And sadly, Pastor, I met people probably like you have, I'm sure, Christians who say, you know, I don't know how to tell people about Christ. I don't know how to do that. And what you said is great advice. Just tell them how you came to Christ.
That's right.
Share your faith story. God can use that.
He sure can. And we're going to see, my friends, how God does use that even on this day. Oh, maybe not the way that you would have wanted this story to unfold, but God has his purposes and God uses all of it. And we're going to see that as this chapter unfolds. I appreciate you joining us for today. Hope you have a wonderful day in the Lord. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.